T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But seeing you two together proves anything is possible. You want a supreme pizza sub? Go get it. Pepperoni, why not? Triple meat, it's just right. Because at the end of the day, it's still pizza on the inside. Subway, make it what you want. Sorry, it's the red onions. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
So, you've got a full tank of gas and zero plans for the weekend. You know what that means. Road trip. But you forgot to deposit your paycheck. No worries. For a small fee, Regions Mobile Deposit, with immediate availability, lets you make a deposit right into your account using your Regions Mobile app. So if your idea of a spontaneous road trip doesn't include a bank trip, we get it. Some things are bigger than banking. Visit regions.com/mobile deposit for terms and details. Regions, member FDIC, data fees may apply.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's Unicorn Cash Time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. And right now.
All right, you got a chance to win $1,000 right now. Pick up your phone. Text the word WONDER, W-O-N-D-E-R. Text WONDER to the number 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000. You have a chance to win a grand at the top of every hour today. So right now, text WONDER, W-O-N-D-E-R, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. You'll have another keyword coming up at 5 o'clock.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
Gary Parrish, I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Doyle producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions.
Our daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wendrings.
And I hope Michigan has as much good fortune as Memphis is having, now that it has hired a former player to run its men's basketball program. Because I wish good things for Michigan. I got friends who went there. The comparisons are obvious on a surface level about what Memphis did, what Michigan just did. But they don't really line up apples to apples. Michigan didn't actually do what Memphis did today. Michigan did something similar, but it's not really the same thing. We'll get into it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 420, Joe Mullinex, the site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. He's going to join me like he does every Wednesday. We'll get caught up on the Grizzlies coaching search. I'll ask him if he has come up with any reason for the Grizzlies to do anything other than select John Morant with the number 2 pick in the 2019 NBA draft. Joe Mullinex is going to be here in about 20 minutes. When I finish that segment, I'll do 4 notable stories of 444, at which point I will discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories, among them Jaden McDaniels committed to Washington last night. So that ensures Memphis, not Kentucky, is going to finish with the number 1 recruiting class in America. We'll get into that around 4:44. The Clippers are now a real threat to land Kevin Durant, according to sources, and Kendrick Perkins. That's interesting. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. A right-handed pitcher from Florida, former first-round pick of the Atlanta Braves, headed to Japan to play professional baseball. Interesting story. I'll explain to you why he's doing this just a little bit before 5 o'clock, and congrats to the St. Louis Blues. Win last night in the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in 49 years. Just 4 wins away from winning the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history. We'll talk about that during 4 notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. And then at 5:30, Ricky O'Donnell is the college basketball editor for SB Nation. And this morning he published a nice breakdown of the roster Penny Hardaway has assembled for next season. He's going to be here to talk about that with me around 5:30. Then we'll do dinner to go, and we'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the big college basketball news of the day because it's loosely tied to Memphis, and that's that Juwan Howard's going to be the next head coach of his alma mater. He's going to be the next head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. Formal announcement is expected soon. Press conference either later this week or next week. I believe the reports are that he has agreed to a 5-year contract. And I've done multiple interviews about this already today, given that I'm a college basketball columnist for CBS Sports, and I'm one of the people turn to when stuff like this happens. And so I've talked to multiple radio stations about this today, and both times, not because I'm from Memphis, I don't think, but both times it was tied to what Memphis did with Penny Hardaway. How much does the success of Penny Hardaway at Memphis, how much did it help Juwan Howard in his pursuit to get the Michigan job? And I totally get the question. It's rooted in a solid foundation, you know, because, you know, what Memphis did on a very surface level is hire somebody who had never worked on a college campus, but that person is a famous alum and somebody who had had an incredible NBA career, and they were bringing that person back to run its men's basketball program. That's what Memphis did, again, on a surface level. And Michigan did exactly that today. You know, they hired somebody who was a famous alum, did amazing things at Michigan as a player, went and had a very impressive and lengthy NBA career, and now they're bringing him back to run their men's basketball program, even though he's never worked on a college campus. So those are the similarities. And so I get why people are tying them together. And I will say that if the question is how much does the success of Penny Hardaway at Memphis help Juwan Howard at Michigan, my answer is it can't possibly hurt, because whether it's Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State or Penny Hardaway at Memphis, anytime you're considering hiring somebody who would be labeled an unconventional candidate, somebody who has either never been a head coach at a high level or never been a head coach at all, somebody who's never worked in college athletics even a single minute, when you're considering doing that, the more examples, positive examples you have to point to rationalize it, can be helpful. And so if you're considering somebody who's never been a head coach to be your head coach, you know, you could point to Steve Kerr with the Golden State Warriors. He had never been a head coach, any level of anything. But he got the Golden State job, and he's obviously been fantastic. If you're trying to hire somebody who's never been a head coach, you could point to what Fred Hoiberg did at Iowa State. He had never been a head coach at any level of anything. But Iowa State hired him, largely for the same reasons Michigan just hired Juwan Howard. And it worked brilliantly. So brilliantly that he got an opportunity to coach in the NBA. That went less brilliantly, but now he's back in the Big Ten coaching at Nebraska and was widely considered to be one of the best hires of this offseason. So you could point there. And when you're considering hiring somebody who's never worked on a college campus, you can point to Memphis and Penny Hardaway. Because until about 14 months ago, Penny Hardaway had never worked on a college campus. He had never been an assistant coach at the collegiate level, obviously not a head coach at the collegiate level. His coaching background was basically limited to middle school, high school, and the Nike EYBL circuit. And so if you're Michigan and getting ready to do something like this, you'd go, well, like, Fred Hoiberg was great at Iowa State. I know it's a different deal, but Steve Kerr's won championships in Golden State. And my God, Penny Hardaway's got the number one recruiting class in America. So there's three examples where it's working. Hiring somebody who has never done what we're asking them to do, perhaps it can work for us. And so, again, Penny's success makes it easier for Michigan to pull the trigger on this. I genuinely believe that. It makes it easier for Juwan Howard to get seriously involved in this job. In fact, either earlier this week or late last week, when Jalen Rose made an impassioned speech on television, on ESPN, for Michigan to go ahead and hire Juwan Howard, his former teammate, member of the Fab Five. Jay Williams was also in studio. And one of the points Jay made as they were heading to break was, look at what's happening at Memphis with Penny Hardaway. In other words, while making the case for Juwan Howard, part of that was, look at what's happening at Memphis with Penny Hardaway. And for all the reasons I just described, the stories are tied together, at least somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference here, and it's a massive difference, is that Fred Hoiberg was the mayor of Ames, Iowa. Literally his nickname. Grew up there. Lived there. The mayor. Penny Hardaway is from Memphis. Has spent his childhood in Memphis, adult life in Memphis, NBA career over. Could live anywhere in the world he wants to live. Decided to live in Memphis. That's not really Juwan Howard's story. Juwan Howard's from Chicago. Best I can tell, Juwan Howard's connection to Michigan, Ann Arbor, Detroit, or the state in general, is the 3 years that he played at Michigan. That's it. He is someone who played there. He's not somebody who's from there. He's like Robert Dozier. And so it's not quite the same, the connection to the campus, to the city, to the state, to the anything. Doesn't mean it can't work. I'm just saying it's not quite the same as Fred Hoiberg, yeah. What he meant to Iowa State or what Penny Hardaway means to Memphis. But that's not even the biggest difference. The biggest difference is that Juwan Howard has spent recent years coaching in the NBA. And by all accounts, establishing himself as a legitimate future NBA head coach candidate. Like, has a good reputation. You're not just hiring somebody who's been sitting on a bench doing nothing. You're hiring somebody who has been working for one of the better-run franchises in the NBA and who has been working for one of the best coaches in the NBA and who has developed a reputation as a high-level assistant coach in the NBA. He checks a lot of those boxes. But working in the NBA as an assistant coach is vastly different than working in high school as a head coach. And I'm not even saying it's inferior. That's not what I mean at all. I would assume you can learn a lot more on an NBA bench then you can learn coaching a high school team or a grassroots team. But what you can't do while you're on an NBA bench, as opposed to coaching a high school team or a grassroots team, is develop relationships with prospects and the people who control prospects. See, we always knew when Penny got the job at Memphis that he was bringing players immediately because he had relationships with those players that were deep and formed. And so within a couple of weeks, he gets Alex Lomax, he gets Tyler Harris. I think he got Alex Lomax flipped probably before he even accepted the job. I think Wichita State released Alex Lomax on the same day that Penny Hardaway was introduced as the Memphis head coach. You could reasonably assume, if you're the Memphis administration, that whether Penny Hardaway could do the job or not in every way that the job needs to be done, he's probably bringing James Wiseman. Probably bringing DJ Jeffries. He's probably bringing any other Memphis player he wants. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Dandridge, Damian Baugh, whoever. So at the very least, you knew that. What you didn't know, but perhaps looking back on it with the benefit of the hindsight, you should, is that he wasn't just the Team Penny coach or the East High School coach. He was a coach on the EYBL circuit. In other words, coaching weekend after weekend in the same gyms against the other EYBL coaches who control the majority. I shouldn't say control, but have influence to some degree over the majority of the best players in the country. Like, Penny knows those guys. I'm not saying they're best friends, but like, who runs the EYBL team out of California? Penny knows that guy. Who runs the team out of Indy? Penny knows that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who runs the team out of Detroit? Penny knows that guy. Who runs the team out of Florida? Penny knows that guy. He's been coaching against him, traveling with him. Same gym, same hotels, same camps, same restaurants. So he had connections all over this country well before he was ever introduced as the Memphis coach that was going to allow him to do what he's doing right now, which is assemble a recruiting class that is, at this moment, and will, barring a surprise, go down as the number one recruiting class in America slash the best recruiting class in the history of the University of Memphis. He was set up to do that. I don't think you could reasonably expect that he was going to do it this well, but he was set up to do this well. I'm not sure about this well, but he was always going to succeed on the recruiting trail because he came into the job with connections to players and the people who have influence over players. And he's handled that part of the job beautifully. Juwan Howard doesn't come with those same connections. I don't know that he has any grassroots connections, any player connections. He's going to have to start from scratch. I think John Rothstein tweeted this earlier, and I think it's the much better comparison. You know, right now, a lot of people are saying Michigan with Juwan Howard just did what Memphis did with Penny Hardaway. Not really. What Michigan just did with Juwan Howard is what Georgetown did with Pat Ewing.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Ewing also took over at his alma mater after a long and successful NBA career and did so after spending years on an NBA bench as an assistant coach. That's what Michigan just did. Michigan just did what Georgetown did. Michigan didn't do what Memphis did, because what Memphis did is hire a famous alum who had real connections to prospects he was going to bring with him, barring a massive surprise. What Georgetown did is hire a famous alum who had a good reputation of being a high-level assistant coach in the NBA, but for whatever reason could not get an NBA head coaching job. That's what Georgetown did. That's what Michigan just did. And I hope this doesn't sound like I'm crapping on it, because I'm not. I actually think, given the options, this makes as much sense as anything else. It's risky on some level, sure. But almost anything Michigan was going to do was going to be risky. They lost John Beilein. They weren't going to be able to replace John Beilein with a comparable coaching talent. I said that on the day he took the Cavs job. I was like, sometimes a job opens and you go, well, let's see how this coaching search, you know, let's see how it unfolds. Maybe they'll even upgrade the position. There was no scenario under which Michigan could upgrade the position because they lost one of the very best coaches in the sport in the middle of May. That's tough timing. It'd be bad no matter when, but middle of May is very tough. And so given the options on the table, Juwan Howard makes sense to me. You can't judge this hire based on what Michigan lost. You have to judge the hire based on what else could Michigan have done. And I'm not saying this is what I would have done, but it certainly makes sense to me. I get it. Because I know they're the most scandal-ridden years, but they're also the best years of Michigan basketball.
Yeah.
Those Fab Five years. And he's a part of that. He is a part of one of the most iconic college basketball teams of all time. They didn't win a championship, but they are more iconic, more famous than most national champions. Virginia just won a national championship 2 months ago. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Bennett, but can you name the starters?
Oh, dude.
Of course not.
No.
Almost nobody could. Anybody who cares about college basketball even a little bit can go Ray Jackson, Jimmy King, Jalen Rose, Juwan Howard, Chris Webber. You remember that one.
Absolutely.
If you grew up in that time and you cared about college basketball or basketball at all, you remember them dudes. And now one of them is the head coach at Michigan, and two of them are on TV every night talking about basketball, Chris Webber and Jalen Rose. And so I think this is an opportunity for Michigan to – for a while, that university's tolerated the Fab Five's legacy. Now embrace it. You know, go connect with the type of prospective student athlete that Michigan has the ability to enroll and play to your strengths. Penny Hardaway has been an amazing, amazing head coach in the way that he plays to his strengths. And I think if Juwan Howard plays this right and puts the right staff around him, he can play to his strengths, capitalize off the Fab Five, try to grab whatever he can grab from the past to help him build Michigan back into what Michigan basketball ought to be, which is one of the best programs in the country.
And he can still preach NBA, NBA, NBA like Memphis is doing. I mean, they have a decent track record of sending guys to the NBA.
No question. And he has been there. You know, he's been there as a player. He's been there as a coach. And one analyst after another we talked to says Memphis is selling the NBA, and that's all kids care about.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes fans from other schools, like Kentucky fans or Indiana fans or any of the fan bases that have missed on players recently at the, you know, because Memphis came in and got them. And this is something John Calipari used to talk about 10 years ago. He was always right. You know, SEC fans and Big Ten fans go, why would Precious Achiuwa go play in the American Athletic Conference? Why would James Wiseman want to play in the AAC? Here's why. Because they don't care about that. Dude, 17-year-old basketball players don't grow up dreaming about playing on Big Monday, Super Tuesday, the NCAA tournament. I swear to God, I go out every summer, I talk to these kids. They never talk to me about the SEC. They never talk to me about, oh, so you work for CBS? Do you think maybe I'll play on CBS someday? Never had anybody say that to me, ever. They talk about the NBA.
Yeah.
John Calipari used to say it. It's even more true today than it was then. The only league players care about is the NBA. That's it. They don't care about Conference USA. They don't care about the American Athletic Conference. They care about the NBA. And to your point, yes, Juwan Howard and the staff, I'm assuming he's going to put around him, they'll be able to preach NBA because he's coming directly from the NBA. Will it be as effective as it's been for Penny Hardaway? Probably not. But can it be effective enough to put him in a position where he can win? Perhaps. We'll see. Joe Mullinex, the site manager for SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Talking Grizz with him, John Morant with him next.
Memphis has been celebrating all month and enjoying everything that makes this city special. We just welcomed the whole world into our backyard to cook out, but now it's time for us to grill up a Memphis original. So we're kicking off grilling season with Memorial Day weekend, and this is Gary Parrish telling you nothing sets you up for the perfect party like a fresh hand-cut steak from Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop. You know Folks Folly, right? The original Memphis Steakhouse? They serve incredible steaks every night, but what you might not realize is that you can have those very same steaks in your own backyard, as well as their ground sirloin, crab legs, lamb chops, sandwiches, pimento cheese, fresh vegetables, everything you could possibly want for a delicious cookout with friends and family. It's all at Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop right next door to Folks Folly. And it's so good, in fact, that Humphrey's staff is going to take off Memorial Day so they can enjoy it as well. So you need to take some time before the holiday to stop by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop at 551 South Mendenhall. It's the same address as Folks Folly. Or you can order online at humphreysmemphis.com to get everything you need to grill like a legend.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
Hey, everybody, it's time for a road trip. And if I said, who wants to drive an all-new Silverado or an all-new Blazer, how many hands are going to go up? Can't be just mine. And that's why you have to be with me right now at All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Not only do they have the best deals, they have the best testing ground in the Mid-South to drive all-new Chevys on highways, on back roads, maybe even off-road. So crank the music up, play off all the new gadgets, and see why All-Star Chevys have all the awards, and they have all the awards, people. Not only that, the Chevy sell-down deals at All-Star in May are spot on. Lots of 0-72 financing with GM Financial on Silverado, Equinox, and more. Or get in on the discounts and cash that drop the new Silverado prices as much as $12,000 off MSRP. And huge military discounts for those who serve our great country. It's an easy drive from Collierville, Memphis, or anywhere in Mississippi. So find new roads to All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch, or go check out their complete inventory at allstarautogroup.com.
Beer lovers, listen up. Your Memphis Zoo is back this Friday, May 24th, with Zoo Brew. Sample over 100 beers smack dab in the middle of the zoo. Lions, tigers, bears, and beers. Friday, May 24th, starting at 7 p.m. Tickets start at just $45. Available online at memphiszoo.org, as well as the Memphis Zoo box office. Zoo Brew is brought to you by Southland Casino Racing.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Do you hear that Coors Light being poured? It's the perfect temperature. How can I tell just based on the sound? I can't. But I can see that the mountain on the can is blue. And when the mountain is blue, your Coors Light is perfectly cold. Coors Light is cold lagered for a crisper taste, cold filtered for brightness and clarity, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. Doesn't that sound good? 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Earn two times the fuel points at Kroger Thursdays through Sundays. Just download your coupon on the app or at Kroger.com. Limited time only. Restrictions apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish the Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Five-star prospect Jaden McDaniels committed to Washington last night after Midnight Central. He's making sure most of them Kentucky fans were asleep before he went ahead and did that. Bad news for Kentucky, good news for Washington. I guess indirectly good news for Memphis because it probably ensures the Tigers are going to have the number one recruiting class in America. If he had gone to Kentucky, that might not have been the case. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock. Then Ricky O'Donnell had a nice breakdown of the roster Penny Hardaway has assembled in advance of next season. He's going to join me at 5:30. But right now, he's the site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. It's Joe Mullinex making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yo, it's Gary. How you doing, man?
I tell you what, it's a busy time over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. We have begun our 2019 GBB Community Mock NBA Draft, and it's insanity. I tell you, Gary, I don't know why I sign myself up for this every year, but we have 30 folks representing 30 NBA teams, wheeling and dealing behind the scenes, all sorts of trade negotiations. I think we're on pick five. We're waiting on Cleveland, and it's been an insane day. I regret doing this every year, but people seem to enjoy it. So
for folks who are unfamiliar, catch us up on what you did at number two with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, so I represent the Memphis Grizzlies every year because if I'm going to put myself through this insanity, I'm going to represent the Grizzlies, and one of the benefits of being the boss sometimes. And I decided after some deliberation, I did have a couple of negotiations just trying to gauge the value of the number two pick. I decided to keep it simple, stupid, the old KISS principle, and I went with Ja Morant. It's hard to say no to his ability. The more highlights and the more film I watch of the guy, he might be Trae Young, but more explosive. And I feel like a more explosive Trae Young should probably be the number two overall pick in this draft. So I tried to keep it simple, and I didn't want, you know, all of Grizzlies fans to revolt against me on Twitter and on the blog. So I decided to go with Ja Morant, and I'm pretty excited about it at number two.
It would be Trae Young with more explosiveness, but not nearly the jump shot, right?
Oh, yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. And I think that anybody who is so sold on Ja Morant that doesn't see that critique is a little bit blinded by the Beale Street blue glasses they're wearing. That doesn't mean that Ja Morant isn't the second-best prospect, second-best player, however you want to phrase it. I think they might be one of the same, depending on how things work out. But his jumper is definitely not where it needs to be. I think that is an area of improvement for his game. That doesn't mean that it can't improve. He's still a young player, and I think there's reason to be optimistic that there is going to be some growth on that side of the floor for him offensively. And if he does improve that, watch out. It's almost like Giannis with a three-point shot. You know, he's such a good passer, Morant is, and he's so good at getting to the basket and creating for others off of dribble penetration. If he can consistently hit that elbow jumper, hit the three off of the pick and pop and pick and roll, he's going to have a lot of levels to his game that are going to make him almost unguardable.
I do not believe New Orleans is going to seriously consider anything other than Zion Williamson, but should they at least consider maybe, and I don't even know how you could pull the trigger on this without having a riot in your city, but should Ja Morant be more in the conversation for number one overall than he actually is?
I don't know. I think I know you know this, Gary. Some of Zion, and I don't want to be disrespectful to Zion because obviously he is really a phenomenal athlete, and I think he deserves a lot of the hype that he gets. In 2019, sometimes there's a hype train. You know, there's a media machine that kind of makes somebody inflated even beyond what they are. Because Zion's not a perfect prospect. You know, you look at Zion and you say, well, is he a three? Is he a four? Obviously, in an era of positionless basketball, he can pretty much do whatever you need him to do. But at the same time, his perimeter game is questionable. And in an era in the NBA where so much is driven by based off of jump shots and perimeter game, he is not proven there at all. So I think he's an elite athlete, the likes of which that only comes around once every 10 to 15 years. And I think that a lot of the hype is fair in terms of what he could be in the NBA. But I do think that people get so sold on, like, just the fact, Gary, that we're doing prospect profiles at GBB that aren't John Morant, people are getting angry, like actually angry online and upset that we're not just talking about John Morant. Like, the idea that RJ Barrett could be a Memphis Grizzly is offensive to some people. And I think that that's kind of the same case with Zion. Zion is obviously the number one prospect, and I think he should get drafted number one. But at the same time, I think John Morant is the type of prospect, and you and I talked about this last week, any draft where Zion Williamson isn't in it, you know, John Morant's probably the unanimous number one overall pick. But Zion's not that good of a season. He's that type of a prospect that he physically is that much better than just about everybody. And a lot of the hype is deserved, but I think sometimes we overinflate these guys and what they could be. We have to realize that they're 19, 20, whatever the age might be in terms of youth. They're young players, and you're projecting them to be something that they may not wind up working out.
Talking to Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. You can read him there. Follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinex and listening to him. He's the host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. That's an SB Nation podcast. You can find that anywhere you find podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. To be clear, if I'm selecting first, I'm taking Zion Williamson. If I'm selecting second,
so
I'm taking Ja Morant. I just the idea that these are all open, shut conversations is a little – I think that's a little too far for me, but whatever. I do think that's the right order. And I'll tell you, the stuff with Ja Morant, particularly just if all you're doing is watching YouTube highlights, it's very easy to spot. What I am additionally encouraged by is every time I hear basketball people talk about him, they love him. Like, I haven't heard anybody. I'm thinking about this now. I really haven't heard anybody, any basketball analyst. Like, he was on Get Up this morning, and there he is breaking down, sequences with Jay Williams. And Jay, like, is quite clearly a big fan of Ja Morant. I don't think I've heard anybody say, I don't know about him. I've heard people question RJ Barrett. I've heard plenty of people question Cam Reddish. I've heard people question DeAndre Hunter. I really don't think there's a contrary opinion about Ja Morant. And I'm just now thinking about this. Have you heard anybody that's on the other side of the Ja Morant conversation?
The major critique of him, and a major maybe even is too strong, is the jumper that we talked about a little bit before. He needs to develop that part of his game. But in terms of his personality, because a lot of this is personality-driven too, I think that's an argument for Zion. He has the type of personality that's marketable. And I think Ja is the same way. You hear things about R.J. Barrett, obviously, that he wants the bright lights. He wouldn't want to come to Memphis. He was relieved. You hear those reports, and I think one of the things that makes him such a nice fit for the Grizzlies is this dude's coming from Murray State, right? It's not like he's coming from a blue blood program like Duke, Kentucky. He's excited to be in the NBA to an extent.
Sure.
And I think that he genuinely is saying, you know what, I just want to play ball. I want to go somewhere where I can compete and be on a good team eventually and be kind of a leader of that franchise. And he's getting that opportunity in Memphis, and he's not necessarily looking for something more than a good basketball opportunity. And I think that any franchise, large market, small market, you know, New York to Memphis to New Orleans to L.A., I think every NBA franchise should be able to structure themselves to be able to compete. I mean, San Antonio is obviously the shining example of that. And there's no reason, given the way the NBA is structured, that the Grizzlies can't compete for a championship in the next few years or 5 years, whatever window you want to give it, because of the way that their lottery works. I mean, you have Jaren Jackson Jr. as a first-team All-NBA rookie his first year. Ja Morant probably will follow suit, at least make the team in some way. Those are two cornerstone pieces that you should be able to build around. And if you're not, it really doesn't have much to do with the market as much as it does how you draft, how you organize yourself as a franchise. So I think one of the reasons Morant is so liked is he doesn't give off that diva persona. He wants to go play basketball, and I think especially in a city like Memphis, that's really going to endear him to the hearts of the Memphians.
And I think that's all a byproduct of his background. You know, R.J. Barrett has been the centerpiece of everything for years. You know, the Canadian national team, He's been the number one player in his class. He's been treated and regarded a certain way for as long as he can probably remember. Whereas Ja Morant, as recently as 2 years ago, was a totally off-the-radar, nothing prospect going to Murray State. You know, he's from small-town South Carolina, who went to college in small-town Kentucky. Like, Memphis, by a significant margin, will be the most glamorous place he's ever lived. And I do think that works well for Memphis because you do have somebody who, you know, hasn't – I mean, I'm sure he's dreamed about the NBA his whole life, same way I dreamed about playing second base for the Mets. But it was unrealistic until recently. And so for Ja Morant to have any sort of attitude, you know, that's like, well – you know, I envision myself with the Lakers or the Knicks, not playing in small market Memphis, would just be completely bananas because this is all so fresh. He's from the South. And if you'd have told Ja Morant, hey, I can't tell you where you're going to be playing, but in 2 years you're going to be a top five pick and they're going to have you on billboards for an NBA franchise, he would not have believed that. And yet here we are. And so I think his approach to all of this is, yeah, A, refreshing, but B, totally sensible because he's just been brought up a different way than Zion Williamson and a different way than R.J. Barrett.
And I think that if Jason Wexler is smart, which I know he's smart, you know he's smart, and he's very good at this, when he arrives in Memphis, assuming he is the pick, I would sell that because Memphians are going to fall in love with this kid for everything you just said. If you want to talk about, and I know we're trying to move on, but you want to talk about grit and grind, and you want to talk about a kid who pulled himself up from his bootstraps, the old every cliche in the book is this kid in terms of the way that he's developed himself into this type of an NBA prospect. From zero star, one star, whatever he was, to the number two almost consensus pick in the 2019 NBA draft, that's a Memphis story. That's something that, you know, you can really kind of latch onto as a fan and say, I can relate to that kid. That kid was essentially nothing in the eyes of all of these big schools, and he made himself into this amazing player. Obviously, he has God-given ability, but at the same time, you don't get to where you are through his route that he took without busting your tail, and I think that Memphians are going to love that about him. And again, the fact that he's going to be excited to be there, and he's going to want to get to work, and he wants to make people better on the offensive end, he's a facilitator, he is really going to shine with the Grizzlies if he's given the opportunity, and I think they know that.
The other thing I think Memphians, Grizzlies fans, are going to love about him is that there was a moment this morning, if you can find the clips on YouTube or wherever, I would encourage any Grizzlies fans to go find it, but he's breaking down film with Jay Williams. Like, they're going through Ja Morant highlights, and Jay's just sort of picking his brain. How did you see this? What did you see here? Mike Greenberg doing the same thing. And he showed a certain level of basketball IQ. Like, here's what I knew because of the way they played this earlier. I knew if we did this, they would do that. It would open this up. It was just super interesting. But then there's one play that's just basic. You know, it's just a highlight of him grabbing a ball on the baseline, catching a pass on the baseline, and dunking over somebody much bigger than him. And the point, Jay Williams, who is also a point guard, also a former number two pick in the draft, he said, most people our size would just, you go in, you create the contact, like with your shoulder, and then you try to finish, get an and one. But it doesn't occur to most guards our size to try to go dunk over a person that size in that moment. Why did you do that? And he said, my dad had just been telling me that I was finishing soft. So I wanted to show him I could finish strong, and then I just decided I'm going to finish strong every time, and now I try to dunk everything. And it really does just expose a mindset that he is in attack mode at the rim. Yes, he's got incredible vision, and he's an incredible playmaker, and he breaks down defenses. But at the rim, he's going to be violent the way Russell Westbrook wants to be violent at the rim. I think that's where the Westbrook comparisons come from. And when you've got a, you know, he's not little, he's 6'3", but when you've got a 6'3 guard who is willing to challenge bigger men at the rim and do it successfully more often than not, well, that's an amazing quality that people grab onto.
And that's something that you can build upon again. To me, the last 2 years, ever since Zach Randolph and Tony Allen left and grit and grind essentially died, this team has been looking for an identity. And I don't think Jaren Jackson Jr. is the type that's going to set the identity. And I don't mean that as an insult. I think he's a guy who's going to keep it light, you know, the being lit and litness and all that stuff. That's great. I don't think that's an identity. The way John Morant plays basketball, the way that he answered that question that you just talked about, that's an identity.
Right.
That's a mentality. You attack the basket. You go through people. And, again, that is a very Memphis mentality, if I ever heard one. This is not something – this is not a player – who's going to be criticized like James Harden is, who, again, if you appreciate basketball and the rules of the game, and Harden has a lot of skill in the way he scores his points, but this isn't that. He's going to attack. He's going to come at you and be relentless, and I think that relentlessness is really going to shine through. And if you can surround John Morant with Jaren Jackson Jr., they rub off on each other, you have other young players in that system. Again, a rebuild, and people want to call it tanking, it doesn't have to be that. It can be purposeful. And I do believe that if they play their cards right this offseason, they may be in the lottery again next year. They might be sweating out whether or not they convey the pick to Boston again. That's all possible. I want to see them starting to develop what it's going to mean to be a Memphis Grizzly for the next decade. And if John Morant and his mentality can help influence that in a positive way, he will be worth every cent that they will eventually pay him as the number two overall pick and then future contracts from there.
That is Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Make sure you're reading him there, following him on Twitter at Joe Mullinex, and checking out the Grizzly Bear Blues live podcast. You can find that anywhere you find podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. Terrific stuff as always. Thank you for being here, man.
Thank you, GP. Can't wait till next week.
All right, I'll see you. That's Joe Mullinex from GrizzlyBearBlues.com. When we come back, Jaden McDaniels committed to Washington last night instead of Kentucky. Five-star prospect, so that's big for Washington, not great for Kentucky, and indirectly a good thing for the University of Memphis. Not because the Tigers were involved in the recruitment in any way whatsoever, but if Jaden McDaniels goes to Kentucky, it probably lifts Kentucky to the number one class in America. Because he's not, Memphis remains there. We'll get into that next.
It's Unicorn Cash.
Yeah!
Your chance to win $1,000 with the cash code on 92.9. Coming up at 5 p.m.
Psst, down here.
Hey, Amy. Welcome to the Xfinity store. Why are you hiding?
Cameras and microphones are everywhere, even in my house. What if I'm hacked? They're watching me.
Oh, with Xfinity XFi, you don't have to worry. It gives you enhanced security for your Wi-Fi network, so all your connected devices are protected, including mics and cameras.
Oh, that sounds great. Can you imagine if we were actually being recorded right now?
We are being recorded for this commercial.
Oh, I trusted you.
If it's connected, it's protected with Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Ask how to get download speeds up to 400 megabits per second, or even faster, up to a gig. Learn more or get started with Xfinity Internet for $30 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, add XFi Advantage for enhanced network security. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay, ends 6/30/19. Restrictions apply. New Performance Starter customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Tennessee, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You gather some coworkers around your laptop to watch the funniest video ever.
So funny.
But nobody is laughing. You couldn't save yourself from the next 3 minutes of unlaughable regret. But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your sense of humor has become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even has a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Huh.
And has been helping people save money for over 75 years.
Ooh.
And while your little video party isn't going as expected, you could expect more savings from your local Geico agent.
You couldn't save yourself from a laughless video flop, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Check out the Go Outdoors event and sale at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, with huge savings on great gear for camping, hiking, paddle sports, boating, fishing, and more. This Saturday and Sunday, bring the kids for free crafts, workshops, giveaways, and free fishing at our catch-and-release ponds. Plus, all law enforcement, firefighters, and EMS personnel will receive a Hometown Heroes discount. In-store purchases only. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
The best pros put a little extra into everything they do. At the Home Depot,
so do we. It's called Pro Extra, with member access to exclusive money-saving offers. Up to 20% off paints, stains, and primers every day. And $20 off your first purchase over $200 just for signing up. That's a lot more than a little extra. Pro Extra, only for pros, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Visit the Pro Desk in store for details.
If you want wings in Memphis, they're not hard to find. There are dozens of places all over town. The Wing Guru is but one. And yes, the Wing Guru is a little more expensive than most other wing joints. And yes, the Wing Guru might take a little longer to get your wings to your table than most other wing joints. But guess what? It's worth it. The fresh ingredients, the premium oils, and the cook-to-order approach make it all worth it. This is Gary Parrish asking a simple question. Do you want okay wings or great wings? Do you have the patience necessary to get the perfection you desire? If so, pop into one of the Wing Guru's two locations and experience it for yourself. One is at 5699 Mount Moriah. The other is at 7199 Stage Road. And if you can't make it to either location for whatever reason, just have the Wing Guru delivered by ordering via DoorDash at wingguru.com. That's thewingguru.com. Do yourself a favor and go see what everybody in the city is talking about. A locally owned wing franchise launched by University of Memphis basketball legend Billy Richmond. If you take pride in supporting local, support the Wing Guru. That's the Wing Guru online, thewingguru.com. Again, thewingguru.com.
Tee it up at Edwin Watts now through June 15th and demo the new Ping G410 Woods and Irons and register for your chance to win. Six lucky grand prize winners will score a VIP fitting for a new driver and putter at the Ping facility. A tour of Ping, including the Ping Gold Putter Vault, plus two rounds of golf. First prize winners from each store will receive a Ping Hofer Light Stand Bag. So stop by today and demo the new Ping G410 Woods and Irons for your chance to win big at Edwin Watts, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
Thompson Machinery is committed to helping you get the job done fast and efficient, helping to grow your business. That's why we're offering 0% financing for 48 months when you buy a new Cat compact track loader, skid steer loader, mini excavator, backhoe, and more. No matter if you're looking to buy or rent, we've got the right solution to fit your job site needs. Pick up your Cat machine today or visit us at tmcat.com/bigtimesupport. Thompson Machinery, your local Cat dealer.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong hole, I said I'm lost. She said I'm going too fast, I'm exhausted. Now drop to your knees for the offering.
Sleepy's, these mattresses and furniture by Michael Zenner is not your traditional mattress and furniture store. Their prices are always 50% to 80%. Off retail store, so they don't have to have sales. They're already killing the competition 52 weeks a year. Got an A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau. And when readers of the Commercial Appeal were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the area, the winner four straight years has been Sleepy Z's. They don't just sell mattresses. They also sell furniture, living room sets, dining room sets, rugs. Anything you need to furnish your home, you can probably find it at Sleepy Z's. And if it's not on the floor, understand there's a 42-inch kiosk. It's filled with furniture. You can browse through that, find what you want. They'll get it for you. And remember to mention you heard about them on the Gary Parrish Show. That's how you're going to save an additional 10% on your purchase. That's at Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner. They're located 2790 Kirby Whitten in Bartlett. That's at the corner of Summer Avenue right there next to Hollywood Feet. And the number's 901-692-6200, 901-692-6200. They're on the web, SleepyZZZS.com. Jeff Calkins going to be with me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Significant recruiting news late last night. Jaden McDaniels, a five-star forward from Washington, committed to Mike Hopkins' Washington Huskies basketball program. He did this not committing to Kentucky, which as recently as 2 weeks ago was considered the leader. So when we would talk about the Memphis recruiting class in recent weeks, we would say, okay, there's a chance that it could be the number one class in America, and it is right now. But whether it was Evan Daniels or anybody else, they'd point out if Kentucky secures a commitment from Jaden McDaniels, then it's probably going to push Kentucky's class back ahead of Memphis's class. Then the order would be Kentucky 1, Memphis 2. So this was significant news for, I don't know, just Memphis's bullet points on a television full screen for next season. Because if Jaden McDaniels would have picked Kentucky, you would never have seen that bullet point that Memphis had the number one recruiting class in America. It would have said Memphis has the number two recruiting class in America, which is still amazing and would be the same players. But there's something cool about saying the number one ranked recruiting class in the country.
Absolutely.
Jaden McDaniels commits to Washington last night, and it was like after midnight Central time zone. So after 1 a.m. Eastern time zone.
Savvy.
And I don't know that he timed it this way.
Oh, come on.
But if you're not going to commit to Kentucky, the best way to do it is like in the middle of the night in Kentucky, while most of those intense fans are asleep and they don't wake up, they don't know about the news until they wake up early and you're probably still sleeping because you're on the other side of the country. So smart way to do it, as far as I'm concerned. Jay McDaniels, member of Washington's class. So now Mike Hopkins got two top 10 players. They're looking like they could be a preseason top 25 team. And Kentucky's class stays as is, which means Memphis's class remains number one.
Story number two.
So, a lot of Kevin Durant speculation past few days. Mark Stein, New York Times, is saying that the L.A. Clippers are now considered just as strong as a candidate to land Kevin Durant as anybody else, including the New York Knicks. This comes after KD's agent said yesterday that he hasn't even thought about it at all, but the idea that he's got his mind made up just isn't. It's just not so. I believe part of that, not the other part of that. Do I believe his mind's not completely made up? Sure, I could believe that. Do I believe he hasn't thought about it at all? Of course not. That's crazy. And then Kendrick Perkins was on TV. He's a former Kevin Durant teammate, close friend of KD. And he just sort of all out of nowhere said, don't be surprised if KD ends up playing in L.A. with Clippers. Like, don't be surprised if he goes to play with Doc Rivers. And I will say it makes sense on some level. You know, LA's a beautiful place to live.
Right.
You know, we talked about being like, I don't know that there's any better place to live if you are super wealthy than Los Angeles. It's why a whole bunch of super wealthy people live there. You don't want to be there and be poor. That sucks. But if you're rich, LA's an amazing place. You walk outside every day and it feels the same way every day. Got the beautiful Pacific Ocean to look at. Like, that ain't a bad place to spend your late 20s and early 30s, or even your 40s, 50s, or 60s. So I completely get it from that perspective, particularly when the Clippers, like, they've got an interesting roster now of guys that you do feel like you could scrap with, and
yep,
they'll fight with you, and you could maybe win something of significance. Plus, maybe you could bring another key free agent with you.
Proven
like,
coach.
Like, you've got a proven coach that people seem to like there's a lot of attractive stuff there, and it would allow you to no, it's not the same as being the best player on the Lakers, because the Lakers are still the Lakers and the Clippers are the Clippers, but you could take that franchise to a place that would have seemed unimaginable not too long ago, that the Clippers would have the best player in the world and be the real contender in the West, not the Lakers. Like, that's amazing. And yet Kevin Durant could make that happen if he wants to, and according to people in basketball now, he's seriously considering that. The Knicks still make the most sense to me, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get somebody to go there with you, and then if the Knicks can figure out a way to flip that pick that they just got, put it in a package for Anthony Davis, now you're ready to go, I think, challenge for an Eastern Conference title, NBA title, next season, particularly if Kawhi goes west, if Jimmy Butler goes west. It could really open up some things for you in the East. So I still think if I were him, I'd do New York. I still think he will do New York, but it doesn't seem to be a consensus anymore that it's going to be New York. The only thing people seem willing to agree on now as it relates to Kevin Durant is that he's not coming back to Golden State. Where is he going to play next season? Maybe with the Clippers. Maybe with the Knicks. We'll see. But everybody seems to agree that Golden State just is not going to be that place.
Story number three.
Really interesting baseball story broken this morning by Jeff Passan last night, at ESPN, about a right-handed pitcher named Carter Stewart. Now, he's the eighth pick in last year's draft by the Atlanta Braves, eighth overall pick, and he did not sign. They offered him a signing bonus of around $2 million, which was more than $2 million lower than the value assigned to that slot. So he reasonably turned it down and decided to go to junior college so that he could re-enter the draft. And rather than re-enter the draft now, it appears that he's going to sign a contract, professional contract, to play baseball in Japan. And it's going to be a six-year contract worth more than $7 million.
And he's locked into it, right? He can't get out until he's 25, I don't think.
Right. And so you might wonder, okay, why does a 19-year-old want to lock himself into a six-year contract for $7 million in Japan? And there's two obvious reasons. One is that $7 million is likely more money than he'll make in the next 6 years as a member of the Braves organization, because he's going to spend multiple years in the minor leagues, and then his first year in the majors is going to be for the league minimum, which is six figures, not seven. You do the math on it. Over the next 6 years, he'll make more money in Japan than he would make coming up through the Braves system and then even playing for the Atlanta Braves. Beyond that, the way the Major League Baseball rules are written, he would be allowed to become an unrestricted free agent at the age of 25 by doing this, because the way it's written is foreign players have to play in a recognized foreign league for at least parts of six seasons for them to qualify to be an unrestricted free agent in Major League Baseball. And okay, even though he's an American-born player, if he plays parts of 6 years in Japan, he checks that box.
Sure.
And therefore, he can be an unrestricted free agent at 25. Whereas if he came up through the Braves system, the best estimation would be that he would not be able to be an unrestricted free agent until the age of 28. So he'll get to his first big contract 3 years earlier by doing it this way than if he did it the traditional way. So he's going to make more money over the next 6 years by going to Japan than he would be by staying here, than he would make staying here. And he's going to get to his big payday, assuming he pans out, 3 years earlier than he would get to it if he did it, if he took the traditional path through the Braves minor league system all the way to Atlanta. Because baseball is wild to me in the sense that they control you for so long that there are stars in that league who make nothing, relatively speaking. For instance, like Jacob DeGrom, who's the best pitcher on my favorite team, reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, he's getting paid now. Like, he signed a $140 million contract this off right before the season started. So he cashed in, finally.
Mm-hmm.
You know how old he is?
Mm.
He's 30 years old.
Jeez.
It took him until he was 30 years old to really cash in. In 2015, he was helping the Mets get to the World Series by being arguably their best pitcher. You know what he made? $556,000.
That's unbelievable.
That they control your salary in Major League Baseball forever. And so if you're good, you better stay good. Because if you get hurt, mess up your arm, mm-hmm, anything, you never actually cash in the way NBA players cash in very early on. DeGrom made $556,000 in 2015, $607,000 2016. Like, you barely, like, you can't even live like very well in New York City on that money. It's in crazy. 2017, because of arbitration, he gets $4 million. 2018, last year, it goes up to $7.4 million. But last year, he had one of the best pitching seasons in Major League Baseball history and made $7.4 million. He's like a bench player in the NBA, because they control your contract forever. So what this young kid has done, Carter Stewart, 19-year-old out of Florida, he's figured out a way to get around this. And it's not perfect. Like, he's got to go to Japan for 6 years. I'm sure he didn't dream of doing that.
Right.
But if you are assuming you're going to be in the minor leagues in America for the next 3 years anyway, then really, is that better or worse than playing at the top shelf in Japan for 6 years, starting immediately,
where they love baseball,
and where you're going to make more money? He'll make more money over the next 7 years. I mean, over the next 6 years, and then he'll hit unrestricted free agency at 25 when he otherwise probably wouldn't have hit it till 28. And when you are a right-handed pitcher whose rotator cuff could go at any time, whose elbow could go at any time, like, getting to that big payday as quickly as possible is the smartest way to go about it. And so I don't know if this will be the first of many, but it is interesting that this young man and his agent, surprise, surprise, Scott Boras, surprise nobody, has figured out a way to get around this, what I think is a ridiculous system, and I wish him luck.
Story number four.
Congrats to the St. Louis Blues and all the St. Louis Blues fans. They went 5-1 last night. Game 6 Western Conference Finals, they eliminate the San Jose Sharks, and now they are just 4 wins away from holding that Stanley Cup trophy for the first time in history. And I don't follow hockey at all. I'm aware of when, like, the playoffs are happening, and I've got some friends who are Blues fans, so I'm aware of, like, this story. You know, Vernon's a big Blues fan, and Dennis Dodd, my colleague at CBS Sports, a big Blues fan, so I'm aware of all of this. I don't think I was aware that the Blues had never won a Stanley Cup. I guess I just assumed everybody's won something at some point.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.